Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Meredith Wise, Professor of Political Science at the State University of New York at Albany in the United States. She's a longtime Malaysia observer and also has written numerous books on Malaysia, from student movement to civil society activism. She also was, over the last 22 months, during the time of the Pakatan Harapan government, doing research on the reform agenda, and particularly the anti-corruption agenda. And that's what we want to turn to now, Meredith. I mean, a segment of Malaysians are very happy for this change of government, and a segment of Malaysians unhappy because they felt they voted for a reform agenda, a new Malaysia. The tagline was Malaysia Baru, remember? This new government does not have a tagline.
Newer.
Newer government. Oh, newer Malaysia Lebih Baru. Okay, maybe. That's not trending at the moment, Meredith.
Give it time.
Okay, I trust you. You study political science. Now, help us understand what you were learning before we get to this crisis and what might happen in the future. Tell us what you learned about the reform agenda as it was actually put in practice.
The reform agenda had multiple different parts, and there were different advocates or leaders for each of those parts. So anti-corruption, I think it was really the Prime Minister himself at the time, Mahathir himself, who was really taking the lead on pressing forward with an anti-corruption agenda. So remaking the institutional framework for dealing with corruption, not just the MACC, but also the GIACC, an anti-corruption plan, trying to decentralize through different agencies and so forth, efforts to curb bribery, to curb all sorts of petty corruption and so forth. That's an important agenda. And even if the institutional framework changes now, which is possible, there's no reason that the newer government can't proceed with that. Part, but not all of that, the highest profile part of that anti-corruption drive was, of course, the cases against various UMNO leaders. It seems as though the new government is committed to pressing ahead with those trials that are now in progress. At the same time, I think there's some cause for concern about that, or rather, we've already heard expressed popular concerns about whether those cases will continue, and we've seen efforts to get those cases dismissed. It's not always helpful when you have that party in power that's trying to that's under investigation, that it's many of its leading members are under investigation.
I want to ask you this. I mean, this seems to be a problem also for the Prime Minister because his credibility internationally, because many of the cases that are being prosecuted now are actually of an international one,
yeah.
You know, seven jurisdictions in some cases, involving people, many people who have already been tried and sentenced. So failure to really succeed in this could actually be very damaging for the government, couldn't it?
Yes. We've already seen this delay in returning assets from the U.S. I don't know the full details of that, but my understanding was that they were waiting for things to stabilize. That's not a good sign. I would say, just as an observer, that the new Prime Minister's declining to give Zahid a cabinet post was definitely a good move. I think to have elevated those who are currently facing charges, who are under investigation or on trial now, would really dismiss the legal process. So if these individuals are found not guilty, if the charges are dismissed from their cases, then that's a different matter. But while they still are under active investigation, to kick off a new government by putting them in positions of executive authority would really give a rather damaging signal
right.
to the international community and investors.
So the cabinet formation in large part has helped shore up at least the international credibility of this current administration. Is that what
I think so, at least on this dimension.
Okay, let's go back. So you said one dimension of the reform agenda was the anti-corruption one led by Tun Dr. Mahathir. What are the others, especially the ones of a social nature or a cultural nature, the idea of really remaking Malaysia after 60 years of authoritarian rule?
So the remaking, the cultural normative aspect, that's less something that a government can champion. That really comes from within society. So we did see, for instance, so if we were to look at the reform agenda broadly, we have the anti-corruption part, which is really housed within the domain of institutional reform. Within institutional reform, we might also consider things like remaking the electoral system to change electoral rules. So we had the ERC working on that. There were efforts to reform the judicial process and the ways in which the courts function and the way that they reach out to the public. We saw efforts to reform Parliament. Those, I think, are quite important in terms of expanding access to policymaking, giving Malaysia a more meaningful opposition voice in Parliament, which benefits whichever side is in opposition. All of those things are also part of institutional reforms. We then also have this broader domain of legal reform, which has tremendous impact for civil society. So those issues are ones of expanding civil liberties, of reforming the laws around the press, around media, for instance, around popular protest, around students, whether they can or cannot engage and how. We've already seen the Sedition Act come back. It never went away. Right. but come back to being used almost immediately, which doesn't necessarily send a particularly encouraging signal to civil society. But that links with the broader normative shift you mentioned, which is a culture of consultation and participation, of democratization or political liberalization as meaning more than just elections and voting.
Okay, so your considered opinion, how much are we going to see continuity in terms of the reform agenda? How much could we possibly see reversal or de facto reversal in terms of stalling, like say the non-gazetting of that law that reduced voting age? Where are you putting your money on Meredith at this point in time? In
terms of good reasons, I'm not a betting person. I'm terrible at prognostication. My guess though would be we'll see some continuity, in part because some of those in the new government, I think, really took that agenda seriously. Not all. That's the problem. The new government is an agglomeration of old and new. But some of the leading figures in Pakatan Harapan are now in Perikatan, and that may bode well for carrying some of those aspects of the agenda forward. The larger issue, though, to move beyond personalities and who might or might not press for what, some of those are simply good things to do. And it seems to me, again, as an observer and someone who's terrible at predictions, that some of those, even on the BN, I'm no side, really recognized value in some of the changes that were underway. So things like establishing parliamentary select committees, individuals like Khairi Jamaluddin, now back in the cabinet, seemed quite enthusiastic about those changes from the perspective of a member of the opposition. Now that everyone has had the experience of being in opposition, perhaps there'll be a greater recognition for the fact that parliamentary governance functions better with a functioning opposition, with ideally meaningful two chambers if there are two houses, so that the Senate, some of those reforms to the Senate, I hope will continue to try to give a more meaningful, less just perfunctory role to that body, but also really to change the nature of policymaking. So some of that may continue. In terms of the Undi 18, the change to the voting age, my understanding at the time was that probably the reason that law, of all amendments, was the one that has ever passed through a bipartisan vote was because everybody thinks they're the one who'll win. So if each party thinks that they might have the best chance of capturing that voter segment, it seems likely that that will be gazetted. More to the point, if that didn't, that would just represent such a tangible, concrete element of backsliding, guaranteed to anger a whole lot of young, energetic Malaysians. I just don't see that happening. But again, I'm terrible at predictions.
Okay, you keep your crystal ball back home. We'll be right back. Stay tuned to Consider This.